Good afternoon. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the first Advent midweek service. Give thanks to God for the opportunity to be here and worship, to focus in upon the season of Advent, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do so using a theme that is entitled, His Name Shall Be Called, based on selected verses from Isaiah chapter 9. If your guests are visiting with us here this afternoon, we're glad that you're here, along with all of our members alike, and please do fill out an attendance card you can find in your pews. We do have a dinner following our service here this afternoon down in our fellowship hall, so you're invited to join us for that. That'll take place the next 2 weeks as well through the remainder of our Advent season. We do have a family night coming up this Friday for all those in our congregation. You can still sign up for that on the bulletin board down the hall across from our fellowship hall. Order of service for this afternoon is Divine Service Setting 1, beginning on page 151 in our hymnal. We sing now our first hymn, hymn 338. We thank God for our singers this afternoon as well, 4th through 8th grade choir from our day school. Let us now sing our opening hymn, 338, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for our first Advent midweek service is from Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 11. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. This is the word, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The countdown has begun. How many days left till Christmas? Kids probably know, right? No? No answers? 21 days, right? As today is the 4th of December. And so the excitement grows and grows, especially for the youth in our midst. But adults, you can get excited for Christmas as well. There's lots to be excited about. Family gatherings with good family and friends, sumptuous foods, sweet treats, beautiful decorations, giving and receiving of gifts, but most importantly, the birth of Christ our Lord and our Savior. The reason that we need the Lord Jesus to be born here into this world is because we are sinners, and we are in much need of a Savior for eternal life and salvation. But only God is the one who can do that. Only God is the one who can grant us that saving work. Only God can become one with us. So Jesus Christ, God's only and eternally begotten Son, has become flesh for us. And he has paid the full price for all of our sin. And so you and I, we wait all year for this, the coming of Christmas. But those before us, those clinging to the coming of the Christ, waited for hundreds and thousands of years. But throughout those numerous generations before the first coming of the Christ, God granted revelations of the coming Christ through his beloved prophets. Chief among them was the prophet Isaiah. And often he was dubbed the fifth evangelist or the fifth gospel writer, for his predictions and prophecies of the coming Christ were just as accurate as those of the gospels themselves. One of Isaiah's greatest prophecies is our focal point for this Advent season, preparing us again for the birth of our Lord Jesus. This prophecy was in that Old Testament text from tonight and from Isaiah chapter 9, which we will hear each and every week throughout this season. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now you know many famous people by other names. The great Bambino? Babe Ruth, right? The Duke? John Wayne, thank you, a little participation. The King of Rock and Roll? Elvis. The King of Pop? Michael Jackson. The Queen of Soul? Aretha Franklin. And Honest Abe? Abraham Lincoln. Well, these other names reveal important characteristics about these individuals. So that is what our Lord does for the Christ by giving these other names to him in Isaiah's prophecy from his 9th chapter. And so tonight, that first title we will focus in on is that of Wonderful Counselor. That word, wonderful, is found in the Hebrew text, means something abnormal, something unusual, and even can be translated as a miracle. Well, that word fittingly describes the kind of counselor our Lord Jesus is. But what do you think of when you hear that word counselor? In high school or in college, you had guidance or academic counselors. Camps have camp counselors. And oftentimes, therapists are referred to as counselors. But at the root of all of these words is the word counsel, that is, advice, or to give advice. So where in life do you receive advice? on how you are to live. Where do you turn to when you need information, guidance in this life? Today you can find many counselors in the internet. So you can be prone to listening to those you find on social media as your guidance in this life. You can speak to any number of human counselors in person whenever you would like. What do all of these counselors have in common? While they can all certainly be helpful, they can all fail and make mistakes. You certainly want the best advice when you're trying to fix your car or pay your taxes or make important medical decisions. But even then, human counselors can let you down. But not so with Jesus. He is the wonderful counselor, miraculous indeed. For he is truly God in the flesh, and he is the source of all wisdom and all knowledge. For Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Listening to Jesus can never steer you wrong. You may face some opposition from this world, or from your own family members, or from your friends, the raging winds and floods and storms of this life. But following Jesus is always the best advice, the rock-solid foundation for your living and your salvation. For his wisdom, his guidance, his counsel never fails. His word is truth, and his commandments are gold, and his morals, his ethics, his guidance, his teachings are pure. That's easy, though, to listen to the voices of others all around us. They make sense to us. They may offer us a faster path to success and to well-being. They may entice us to do what feels good, what feels right inside. They may teach you or try to tell you your heart cannot lead you astray. And the devil is there wanting you to doubt God's word, to lean on your own understanding. The world wants to surround you and to embrace you with its many pleasures and its goods. Your own sinful flesh wants to rob you of peace and of comfort by burying your guilt and your shame for your sin in defensiveness, the claiming of the identity of victim. God's people did these things over and over and over again throughout their history. Isaiah was even a called prophet to them who counseled Israel's kings not to lean on others, but to cling to God alone. Kings in the north allied themselves with foreign nations, powerful empires, only to be betrayed by them and overrun by them. Trust in Yahweh forever, the prophet said, for Yahweh God is an everlasting rock. But they could not, and they did not. Why is it so easy to listen to other voices and so hard to trust in God? We are limited. We are fallible. We are human creatures. So much of who we are and what we do is based on what we know, or at least think we know with certainty. We know what makes sense to us. We know the people around us, and we know how things work in this world. And even though God has demonstrated for us time and time again how much he loves us and cares for us by delivering us from all sorts of evil, we still cling to our own ways. Protect us from this, dear Father in heaven. For the world is constantly in our ears. Our sinful flesh and our sinful identities have full occupation of our thinking. Only Jesus can cure us Only the hearing of His teaching, His counsel, His holy word can cleanse us, guiding us and teaching us what He has done for us. Well, what is that? What has the Lord Jesus done? What is this we need to hear again and again and again? He who is wisdom itself has become flesh, man for us. And He demonstrated His perfect ability to teach, to counsel, to guide, and to advise when He spoke to the crowds and to His disciples. The Sermon on the Mount, in which our text from Matthew 7 immediately follows and is part of that great message, states that He speaks with great power and great authority unlike any other. Jesus' teachings to the crowds and to His disciples dripped with the mercy and the grace, the forgiveness and the love of God. And everything that Jesus prophesied came true. Everything He said was truth. Jesus' counsel as God in mortal human flesh, that counsel is life and it is salvation. It is the rock, the foundation upon which your eternal life is forever built. He calls sinners to repentance. He calls sinners to believe, to trust in Him for eternal life and salvation. And Jesus, in His wisdom as the perfect counselor, declares His own death upon the cross as given for the life of the world. Jesus' counsel grants grace and faith and hope and comfort and peace and salvation. His counsel to you is to receive His love, His mercy anew in word and in sacrament. Wonderful Counselor. That is who was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Wonderful Counselor. That is whom the angels and shepherds most humbly worshipped. Wonderful Counselor. That is who sat in the temple at age 12 and taught the teachers, the experts in the law. Wonderful Counselor. That is who educated the crowds in the ways of life and of salvation. Wonderful Counselor. That is who spoke the truth to Pontius Pilate and who counseled those who surrounded Him upon the cross. Wonderful Counselor. That is who spoke peace to the disciples in His resurrected body, granting them the best of comfort and assurance. Wonderful Counselor. That is who speaks love and forgiveness to you in the words of absolution, and who speaks His body and His blood into the bread and wine of His holy supper. Wonderful Counselor, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our wonderful Counselor, to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray now for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We praise you, O Lord of hosts. You have fulfilled your promise of salvation by sending Jesus, the wonderful counselor, to suffer your just wrath on the cross, that we might be declared righteous in your sight. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Bless the proclamation of your word. Preserve us in our baptismal grace, that your Son might always be our righteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, you have built your church upon the foundation of Christ our Lord and the confession of his holy name. Receive our thanks that you continue to preserve us in your word here in our midst and in this confession of faith. Even in a world that opposes your name, grant us tongues that joyfully declare your praise. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, our King, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Watch over the authorities of our land and those who protect us, including our first responders and our military. Grant that they govern and serve justly, so that we may live in peace as we proclaim your love and your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks to you, O God, that as you establish our hearts blameless in holiness before you, so you also provide for all our needs in this body and life. Hear our earnest prayers for those who are in need of your mercy, those who are sick and injured, those receiving medical treatments, those undergoing surgeries and recovering, those who are bound to their homes. We pray especially for those now we name in our hearts before you. Grant to all these healing as you desire. Secure them in the one true faith. Comfort all those who mourn until the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed are you, O Lord, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who came in your name to save us from sin and death. As he visits us this day with his body and blood under the bread and wine, give us penitent hearts that worthily welcome his coming and rejoice in his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you declared a child would be born to us in the darkness of this world to give light of salvation. You have declared him to be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hear us for his sake, for he ever lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected. be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Consider on the body of Christ given for you. On the body of Christ given for you. Herald the body of Christ given for you. Mark the body of Christ given for you. Symphony of the body of Christ given for you. Prayer of the body of Christ given for you. Dancing the body of Christ given for you. Consider on the body of Christ given for you. Suzanne the body of Christ given for you. Thank you. Welcome to the Lord's table. Kathy, the body of Christ given for you. Bill, the body of Christ given for you. Donna, the body of Christ given for you. Elizabeth, the body of Christ given for you. Joni, the body of Christ given for you. Anne, the body of Christ given for you. Kim, the body of Christ given for you.
We stand to sing the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Seated now as the closing hymn is sung.